And whatever do they mean by global governance, if not the global panopticon, a system run with scientific and economical efficiency and such minimum expenditure of energy can only be achieved if we are self-regulating. Five, they unify. There must be no split in the unity of the master class, said Plato, while we are reduced to numbers for the ease of management. Management, efficiency, economy, order, celestial in beauty, the constant fantasy of power. Order, a crystalline, celestial perfection of predictable movement, holding chaos at bay. As civilization is the distillate squeezed from our unholy bodies, it is only common courtesy, charity, to attempt to ameliorate our distress. And as the abyss called the threat of insufficiency can to their linear minds only be filled by our blood spilled, unless by the very profligacy by which they waste our lives, we the people prove the lie of it. They cannot rest, but rest is the one thing they can never get. Six, how does a focus on efficiency and economy tie in to power's efforts to get us to be self-regulating? And here we see the critical role of sheepdogs to manage us. But what if they refused, as Marcuse pointed out? Seven, how does global governance, quote unquote, a manufactured by the few, reality sculpted by force, imply self-regulating? Eight, how we mistake self-regulating for self-governing. We have internalized discipline, learned to call it civilization, a seeking of knowledge infinite, for which we're taught to yearn. And in this longing and lust for the song of the sirens, in this state of ever-seekingness, that which we have not, that which we possess, we scatter and unloose it from our bond. And so by hoping more, we have but less, a habit of self-management. We govern ourselves, never noticing that we've lost ourselves. When we open our hands and look, we find they are empty. Nine. So force is the essence of a class system, but we don't perceive the force because we have become our own masters, because we've internalized the force. Because we have, power can remain invisible. 10. Seeing power, therefore, and dissolving the internalized master discipline are two ways of saying the same thing. We have to explore how power hides in the notion of management, the notion that we must govern ourselves and others. Finally, 11, where we don't have certainty, we don't have courage, not just to renounce the race, but to face power in all its hidden forms and guises, to face our guilt in our self-betrayal, our self-abandonment, to face the fact that we scatter and unloose our souls from our bond. Our souls are not to be mastered, but followed. Discipline destroys our bond with our souls, which reside, live in the ancestors, the earth, and each other. In trying to prove we are masters, i.e. by hoping more, we have but less. Because the master's voice is so loud, not just in our heads, but in the built world around us, it is physically instilled, it is physically embedded in the structure of our world, that we're going to have to need consciously, not just to develop our voice in a personal, isolated, in our own home way, but out loud saying certain things that undermine the basic premises of the system. Those key premises that we saw in the Egyptian revolution, no coercion, no bosses, no division, essentially. We don't need to be forced to share our human gifts. We don't need anyone else to tell us what to do. And we need each other to develop our gifts. Because these are our body's truths, they resonate in every soul across all false divisions. We all want to be whole. So as opposed to natural masters, natural slaves, which is reproduced throughout society, class society, in every possible way, and only serves as the voice of the internalized master, we have to erase that tape and start fresh with new thoughts developed daily. The other thing that I've realized is critical, and I believe should be the focus of not next week's show, but probably the one after that, is a focus on this question of vision.